Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
I'm told in the scriptures to put away all bitterness and rage and anger. I know I'm supposed to put that away, but the question is, okay, how do I do it?
This is Focus on the Family Minute with Dr. Gregory Jantz.
There's a decision I have to make. There's a day of decision that says, I don't know how, I don't know what this really means, but I'm going to make the decision today to begin to forgive. And if you just need to say that out loud, I'm making a decision today to begin to forgive. Now, forgiveness doesn't mean reconciliation. If you have a person who has abused you and they're still alive, that doesn't mean I'm suggesting you go and have a relationship with them. It doesn't mean necessarily there's going to be reconciliation. What it really means is I'm tired of the effects this has had in my life. I don't want these effects anymore. I want to be free of that.
More today at FamilyMinute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Hi, Jean, this is Ann. Remember my parents were so stressed out when they couldn't pay their bills? We are so relieved we found Attorney Rossi on Spring Street in Paso. He knows his stuff. He explained all of my parents' financial alternatives for free.
Rossi didn't charge you?
No charge. Rossi offers a free meeting to help guide people who have money problems. He says good people get into tough situations and need help. He said there are solutions to getting people out of debt, ways to save people's homes from foreclosure, and sometimes cancel tax debt and stop lawsuits and stop harassing creditor calls. Rossi says about a quarter of his clients don't need legal help to deal with their overwhelming bills.
Is he a debt consolidation attorney?
No, he said debt consolidation is usually a poor choice, but he does help clients settle lawsuits out of court. Sometimes it means filing bankruptcy, and sometimes there's other ways.
Rossi Law is right here in Paso on Spring Street across from Wells Fargo, and he offers a free initial consultation.
Kelly Henson Electric in Paso Robles has been serving the county since 2002. Whether you need a panel upgrade, car charger installation, a generator install, or help with design plans and permitting, Kelly Henson is your expert electric company. They don't mind emergency work, and no job is too small. You can see their work at the PAC in Templeton, Twin Cities Hospital, and La Venture and Niner Wineries. Call Kelly Henson Electric, 805-536-1669.
Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, brought to you by Frontier Floors and Window Coverings at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-7878 or online at frontierfloors.net.
Now, the rest of the story. They appeared a perfect couple, a rising young actress who called herself Lan, L-A-N, and her boyfriend, a professional football player. To admiring acquaintances, they were the beauty and the knight. That is, K-N-I-G-H-T, as in shining armor. That's how the striking they were. They lived not far from each other on Layfield Street in the French Quarter. And whenever the young football star was playing a home game, Lan went to cheer from the stands. In the beginning, their meetings were brief and seldom private. The athlete was much intrigued by Lan's loveliness and seeming shyness. And Lan, not yet as famous as her football-playing boyfriend, basked eagerly in the reflected glory. Then one night, the two went to the movies. It was A Beauty's Heart playing at the Carlton Theater. In the tenderest moments of the plot, Lan gazed longingly at the handsome young man beside her, and during the love scenes, she drew close to him. Had he misjudged Lan's shyness, the football player wondered, was there perhaps more to her than met the eye? Well, he found out very quickly. After the show, Lan suggested a nearby hotel where the couple could be alone. Her boyfriend had barely walked into the room on the fourth floor when Lan began kissing him passionately. I'm going to give you unsurpassable pleasure, she announced, and she proceeded to do just that. Now, the young athlete had believed himself experienced with women. An hour later, he was left half-dazed and half-dead on the hotel bed, and Lan was gone. That was their first and last such encounter. Might anyone have warned the young man? Probably not. For the sweet young girl he thought he'd got, quite someone else beneath the surface, one day would be remembered as her nation's number one man-killer sex bot, a lust-em and leave-em love machine who could grind the most macho male to powder. As a teenager, Lan had traveled from town to town breaking hearts. When a love affair displeased her, she left seeking greener pastures. Once in a big city, she became fascinated with the stage and then motion pictures, and with characteristic energy and determination, she began a promising career as an actress. She adored the bohemian life, the interesting night spots, the radical politics, the walk on the wild side, and of course the men, uncountable in number. She was quite beautiful in those days, or at least hauntingly physically attractive, which is not necessarily the same thing. She changed her name at least twice that we know of before deciding on Lan. Lan Ping, which means blue apple in Chinese. For the big city in which she rose to fame as an actress and a seductress was Shanghai. And her professional athlete boyfriend, whose name was Li, L-I, was a Chinese football player. Hers was a decadent world of Western glamour on a Mae Westian scale until the day she asked the head of the whole country to come up and see her sometime. And he did. You remember Lan not for the teasing, but the terror. The ferocious female leader of a drab, colorless, cringing population. A population larger than that of any nation on earth. Friends from the 1930s recall a starry-eyed, chronic coquette. But the woman you know, Yang Qing, alias Lin Hui, alias Lan Ping, alias Madame Mao Zedong, is remembered best by history by her solitary nickname, the Dragon Lady. And now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Buy the Book Heating and Air, your local, reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veeley. I'm your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. And I'm also an investigative reporter for Cal Coast News. We have two very important stories posted in the last couple days regarding the city manager of San Luis Obispo and his assistance to developers who are paying, who are doing pay-to-play bribery to get things through the city. Also, on Friday, we'll have a breaking story about the corruption coming out. But today, I'm finishing up my debate forums with the candidates from the Paso Robles Joint Unified School District Board. Today, we're doing District 6. Next week, we are doing the City Council for Paso Robles. We will also be doing, after that, it may be a week, more than a week following because of dates, we will be doing the Atascadero City Council race. But today we have Leo Castillo and Adelita Haichu. And we are talking, we were at the top of the hour, Adelita was going over, we were reviewing a question on suspensions and what should be the consequences, and she wasn't done with her answer. We're going to start with that.
Thank you so much, Karen. I was kind of highlighting some of the moves that the district has already been moving forward with in regards to suspensions. And I just wanted to add that there are some steps that we can start doing in our younger grades with our students to help them learn tolerance for their fellow classmates who will be with them on through the high school before we get to behaviors that might result in suspension or disciplinary action. And also building a strong foundation of self-regulation techniques in our younger students would be, it's like crucial groundwork for kids to learn, so that as they get older, they have these skills to turn back on so that we can help redirect behaviors before they need disciplinary action.
And Adelita, I'm going to ask you, you're going to go first on the next question. In what ways would you work with the community to promote transparency and accountability in district budgeting and spending?
Thank you. I think I have highlighted it throughout this conversation, but I think that accessibility to information is really important. I feel like a district can be as transparent as they want, but if an average community member or an average parent cannot look at that information and understand it, it's meaningless. I'm a huge fan of transparency, but we have to start making that information accessible to our families, to our community, to our stakeholders. I attend board meetings, I watch board meetings online. Not every family has the ability to attend a 3 to 4 hour board meeting to get access to budget information, and then to process all of that to make an informed opinion in regards to their student, or even, you know, all of our community members, we're all stakeholders here, homeowners. We all have a buy-in in how the district spends our collective money. And when it's behind a 4 hour meeting, that really, it takes it out of reach. So I really feel like there needs to be more effort to make this information accessible. And that includes translation services. That includes meeting parents and stakeholders where they are. This could be newsletters. This could be, I think Leo mentioned town halls. I think that that's a really great option. Just different avenues, creative avenues to get that information in a way that stakeholders and families can understand into their hands so that they can make informed decisions.
Thank you. And Leo, same question. In what ways would you work with the community to promote transparency and accountability in district budgeting and spending?
Thank you, Karen. I feel the district does a pretty good job at putting the information of and making it available online, making it available to listen to, you know, but again, like Adelita said, it's not a manageable source. You know, no one wants to read through hundreds of pages of this stuff on the average, as far as every parent has time, right? Time is important to everybody. And making something like this more of a easier access, I feel that in the Army, there's an acronym we used to use called BLUF, which is bottom line up front. You know, if I were to see a social media post or a Parent Square post or a snippet or a blog that gives me the bottom line up front of what's going on at tonight's board meeting, letting me know the highlights of the specific resolutions that are going to be judged and approved on, I would probably take a look at that. If it gives me the facts, it makes me think, you know what, I think I'm going to listen to that tonight, or I'm going to do some more digging on this, or maybe I'm going to go to that board meeting tonight because I'm interested and invested in this specific topic. I feel like keeping it somewhat simple to where it is a quick look-see at your phone, you know that this is coming on this day, you're going to want to do some more digging. Again, and it's also to the parents, they need to be a little bit more involved. Like, why aren't they doing some more digging? The information is available. It's on the website. Now, again, no one really wants to read hundreds of pages of data and information, but if you can give it to us in a bottom line up front scenario, then I feel like that would be a little bit more attainable to people.
Thank you very much, Leo. And now, Leo, you're going to do this one first. There is currently a transportation issue with a lack of school bus drivers. What is your solution or plan of action for remedying this issue?
Thank you, Karen. So for this specific thing, this is not just a local issue. This is a national issue. And I think there's a lot of variables in it, two of them being, you know, pay. Obviously, we don't pay bus drivers enough to do the job. The other factor I feel strongly about is bus behavior of students. Students are not acting the way they acted 10 years ago, 5 years ago. And who wants to do that job and get paid, you know, minimal amount to do a job like that. I feel like it, making it more desirable, maybe having a more competitive wage and offer some sort of incentive to those bus drivers, I feel like that would be a way to lure folks in to apply for those jobs. I have a real hard time with what we're doing right now and utilizing the RTA buses and having students waiting at the train station at 6:30 in the morning. And I don't feel comfortable about that. And there's no adult supervision. So I'm not comfortable with that. But I do feel that there's even opportunity to provide the bus driver license to teachers, having them take the course, having them get provided a stipend, you know, to ask them to drive. I feel that doing that or making a multifaceted position would be beneficial to the school bus drivers and the school itself.
Thank you very much, Leo. Adelita, there is currently a transportation issue with a lack of school bus drivers. What is your solution or plan of action to remedy the situation?
Thank you. I agree with Leo. This is a national issue. As a parent who has spent the last several years traversing Paso Robles morning traffic to get kids to three different schools, and I live over by Virginia Peterson for context, and one of those schools was Flamson up to last year. It's taxing on families to try to get all of our kids to school on time and then trying to get ourselves to our places of employment. I think that this is going to call for a creative issue or a creative solution. Paso Robles has some really great CTE programs. I think that if we start training our high schoolers to look at careers in the district as they leave our schools, that would be a great solution for this. I think that partnering with Cuesta College to train those students to come in and drive our buses. There's a flexibility in a bus driver schedule. This is the morning and the afternoon, minus some field trips, that would really give our college students an opportunity to have part-time jobs, because like Leo highlighted, this is not a well-paying job and it is not a full day's pay in a lot of instances. So while we're trying to figure out how to balance our budgets and pay people what a living wage, which is particularly difficult in Paso, we're really going to have to think outside of the box here and find solutions that trains local people to work local jobs in a creative manner.
Thank you very much, Adelita. Now we're going to ask, I'm going to have you answer the first question, or this question. What specific strategies would you use to encourage greater engagement from parents and the community in school district decisions?
So this is a great start right here. Right now, thanks to you, Karen, we're on the radio and we're engaging our stakeholders. This is like when I really think about trying to find creative solutions to these problems, trying to get information to people where they are. Right now, you, the listener, we're connecting. You're hearing my platform, you're hearing Leo's platform, and you've gotten to enjoy all the other candidates because we're finding a creative way to bring that information to you where you are. I think that as we move forward through all of these processes as a district, we need to be looking to find creative solutions, whether that be airtime or town halls or websites, having people come to the meetings where parents can find space to attend. It's really important that we find ways to get parents to engage with us. As a PTA president right now, a big part of my job is engagement. It's crucial to make parents, particularly this part, I guess, is for my parents, not only my stakeholders, give them the space to engage, and that means support for parents. That is childcare provided at meetings. That is sometimes a little snack. That is translation for our families that don't speak English. Engagement takes work on behalf of the district and all of the outside organizations that function within that. And I think that that is really a key component to engaging our families.
Thank you very much. And Leo, what specific strategies would you use to encourage greater engagement from parents and the community in school district decisions?
Thank you, Karen. I feel like Adelita and I are on the same page on this, literally verbatim on my notes. It's kind of funny. with engagement, you know, I think one thing we have to do on top of all the other things that I agree with on in regards to childcare, providing food, because, I mean, I'll go if there's food. I like food. I feel like it's important to make it during a time where parents can break away from home life or bring their kid and provide the childcare. I also feel that when it comes to these types of events, you know, we're not making them very appealing. You know, it's long, they're boring, it might not be appealing for them. So how are we going to get them to get involved? I'm not saying that they need to come to every single board meeting, but to get to the school site where their student goes, to have some kind of a town hall, to have some kind of engagement with them, I think those things are important, and we need to make it a priority and show them how important it is for us. We're showing them that we're passionate about this. We need to show them why and give them that same passion behind that.
Thank you very much, Leo. And I'm going to have you answer the next question. College isn't for everyone. Whether that is due to academic achievement or financial reasons, what types of programs do you know of currently that you feel work? And what I'm going to start this question back when we come back, because we're going to have a break from our sponsors and start it back at the beginning.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages finishing higher as tech stocks advanced and investors digested a slightly higher than expected producer prices data, which is reinforcing expectations for a 25 basis point rate cut from the Fed. Most of the 11 S&P 500 sectors ending in the green, with tech the best performer. All of the Magnificent Seven stocks ending higher today. Chip makers rising, with NVIDIA and Broadcom leading the charge. Shares of Kroger spiked 7% after the grocery chain beat profit estimates for the second quarter and raised the lower end of its annual same-store sales forecast. The Dow winners, Caterpillar, Home Depot, and Salesforce. The Dow decliners, Amgen, United Health Group, and JP Morgan Chase. The Dow rising 235 points, the NASDAQ up 174, S&P 500 up 42. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Need life insurance but have diabetes, high blood pressure, or on anxiety meds? If you're a 50-year-old male, even Porky, or with type 2 diabetes, $1 million of life insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. For affordable term life insurance, call Term Provider and speak with Big Lou at 800-444-2013, 800-444-2013, or visit BigLou.com. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. 800-444-2013.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Garage door jamming? Time to call Hammond.
Hammond Overhead Door Company, serving the Central Coast for over 50 years with all your garage door needs. Residential or commercial, Hammond has the right door system for any application. As a local, family-owned company, Hammond Overhead Door Company is committed to providing the superior products you want and the personal service you deserve. Call 238-0524 or go to HammondOverheadDoor.com.
Garage door jamming? Time to call Hammond.
Hey there, this is Jimmy Purdy with Shifting Gears Auto Repair. Hey, listen, I got an offer I got to tell you about. Listen, for the month of September, come on down to the shop. We're offering an engine oil service, an alignment check, full digital vehicle inspection, which includes a coolant system analysis, a brake fluid analysis, battery and system charging analysis. And listen, this is all for the low price of $299.99. So book your appointment today at shiftinggears805.com or come on down to the shop at 1621 North River Road right here in Paso Robles.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775. 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
Welcome back to Sound Off. We are having today, I have, this is Karen Veeley, your host on Wednesday and Thursday. I am doing debates or forums with the different candidates. This week we're finishing up the school district. We're doing District 3 with Leo Castillo and six. Adelita. I mean, I keep saying the wrong one. District 6. Next week will be the city council for Paso. And 2 weeks after that, I'll have the Atascadero City Council. I'm having a little trouble getting hold of one council member. I'm not going to name them. today, it's Adelita's turn. Adelita, what specific strategies... No, this is yours.
Oh.
You didn't get... You started to say something. I told you to wait.
Oh, we were on the college question.
What's... Yeah.
Colleges is for everyone.
Oh, you're right. It is Leo. Thank you. I was almost jumping back. Leo, college isn't for everyone, whether that is due to academic achievement or financial reasons. What types of programs do you know of currently that you feel work, and what other after-school or school programs would you suggest to promote in order for students to be successful after graduation?
Thank you, Karen. No, you're right. So I'm a firm believer that although college is great, it just isn't for everyone, and that's 100% okay. I joined the Army instead of going to college. I didn't want my parents to pay for me. I wanted to do it on my own. I think that there's plenty of trade schools out there, CTE programs, and you know, one thing that I definitely want to push for is a JROTC program here at the Paso School District. I feel that it would be incredibly important to push students to participate in this. I think that having an opportunity to work in a program like JROTC, where we are embedded between two Army National Guard bases, we are 2 hours away from a naval base, and we are 45 minutes away from an Army reserve unit. I feel like all those military service members that work in those locations have students in our district, and we have veterans that live in this community, myself included, and those students are going to our school district. We have the prime location for a JROTC program, and that program would show these students not just routine and structure, responsibility and accountability, things and traits that they can take on at any career path that they choose. But if they choose to join the military after that, that'd be fantastic too. And if anyone's interested, I do know a recruiter. So, but that's all I got on that one.
And Adelita, I'm going to ask you the same question. This is interesting. You both asked this question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
College isn't for everyone. Whether that is due to academic achievement or financial reasons, what types of programs do you know of currently that you feel work, and what other after-school or school programs would you suggest to promote in order for students to be successful after graduation?
Thank you so much. I think that this is a particular topic that really highlights something that Paso Robles High School and its alternative education schools are doing really well. They offer CTE programs, Skills USA programs, They have a really phenomenal career exploration day that brings in branches of the military, police, fire, and a lot of local businesses. A big emphasis for me is I do not want our town to lose its youth. I really want to see us reinvesting in our youth that will stay in our community, that will be community leaders of tomorrow in Paso Robles. And I understand that is going to be harder for some families than others. But I think if we continue to invest in programs that gives our students marketable skills after high school, we will continue to thrive as a community. I mean, this is just like such a great marriage between the district and the greater Paso Robles. We just started offering, which I think is just absolutely fascinating, a partnership with Cuesta College in the evenings that functions at Paso Robles High School that is aviation mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
That is, to me, just such a really cool thing for our students to be able to leave our school with. And there is a new healthcare CTE program being offered to Liberty, which I think also, like, this is an alternative high school situation that really is an opportunity for those students to get excited about their future, to leave high school with marketable skills that they can engage in our community. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I'm going to ask if anyone wants to text a question. We have some duplicate questions. How I've been doing this is I've been having the candidates provide questions ahead of time so that it's a very fair process. But some of the candidates now are actually asking the same questions. So if anyone would like to text questions, 805-234-1703. Again, text a question to 805-234-1703. And Adelaida, I'm going to ask you this one first. Currently, a high school student requested to be called by something other than their name, changing who they are and their identity. Staff are allowed to change the way they address the student without parental consent. This same student wanted to change one of their classes. This did require parental consent. The district's current policy, 100 item 8, states that families have the primary right and responsibilities to develop their children's morals and values. This policy seems to contradict what the school is doing versus what policy states. How do you believe this discrepancy should be handled?
I am highly committed to fiscal responsibility if I were to be elected to the school board. And I think that this particular subject could potentially open us up to a lawsuit. A bill was signed into law on July 15th called the Safety Act, and it bars public school districts from requiring staff to notify parents if they change their preferred pronouns or gender identities. I think that at the last board meeting, Superintendent Loftus mentioned that it is time for the school board to reassess all of their policies to build in some consistency instead of piecemealing them. And this particular question highlights to me the need to do that, so that all of our policies are current to current law.
Thank you very much, Adelita. And Leo, the same question. A student recently asked to have the way that he is referred to changed. And as we said before, the parents were not notified. But in other cases, if they want to change a class, they have to notify the parents. This policy seems to contradict what the There is a current policy, 100, item 8, that states that families have the primary right and responsibility to develop their children's morals and values. This policy seems to contradict what the school is doing versus what policies state. How do you believe this discrepancy should be handled?
Thank you, Karen. This topic definitely is a difficult one as AB 1955 is being pushed out to school districts. My concern with this is that it contradicts federal constitutional rights for parents. I feel that the community has asked for transparency. We've been using that word a lot today and throughout this entire election. I feel like because they're asking, the community is asking for transparency on multiple occasions, this specific topic should be no different. I feel that we need to be transparent with our parents and our families, not just in regards to financial concerns, but also the mental health and well-being of our students. I have no issue with the student having thoughts of this nature or wanting to pursue an identity counseling and go through that process. But as a parent, that is the role of the family member, in my opinion. And I feel that that's important for us as a family to know what's going on with our students' lives. And the staff should be able to tell us what's going on with our student for their mental and well-being. We need to be transparent with the staff, and the staff need to be transparent with us. That's what I got for you on that.
Thank you very much, Leo. And we have several texts. They had some of what I've done with this is I've had the candidates come up with their questions, but we had duplicate questions. And so if you want to send in a question, 805-234-1703. Leo, this one is to you first.
Uh-oh.
Sorry, guys.
I was not prepared for that.
I had everyone was comfortable, and now I have concerned looks on the camera. This is the first time since I've done this we've ran out of questions.
We're just speedy.
I know.
What are the candidates' stances on boys using girls' bathrooms and locker rooms in the high school? Leo, you go first.
On boys using...
Boys that identify as trans using girls' bathrooms in the high school.
From what I understand, what I understand is that they are allowed to use single stall bathrooms or single use bathrooms, or provided those. That's from what I understand. Now, I feel that if there is a bathroom that is available that is a single use bathroom, then that should be the bathroom that should be utilized for those situations. I personally do not think that a birth-born boy should be using a female bathroom, and vice versa.
Thank you very much, Leo. And the same question, should in the high school, should boys that identify as girls be allowed to use girls' bathrooms and locker rooms?
So this question has kind of been floating around a lot during this campaign cycle, and I think I'm just going to take it for a moment to highlight something for me. I've heard it in a higher perspective, like an overarching national conversation, but I haven't heard it from Paso Robles parents who have been confronted with this as an issue for them. And I really would like to focus on the issues in Paso Robles. I really feel like we are a unique community with very pressing issues that come down on us. And I worry that we're going to end up being strayed too far in a national politics conversation instead of getting to focus on what is so near and dear to my heart. So I know, I appreciate the smile, Karen. So with that, I agree with Leo. It is my understanding that there is a single-use restroom option, and I would love to hear some questions that are specific to my beautiful town, community, and school district.
Thank you, Adelita. This one's for you. And this one says, how will you work with other board members to try to get their ideas voted positively on? Obviously, there are just one vote. Some of the other board members are really set in their ways. Sorry, they're saying, how will you work to get to promote ideas from other board members, as there is some board members that are very set in their ways?
Oh, so one of my one of my points in this election is collaboration. I mean, I think that we're all open to conversations. I've personally never walked into a space with someone, no matter what they see, when you really are there with the intentions to have a conversation and in the true spirit of collaboration, which should be like a key marker of a board member, and work through any issue that comes before them.
Thank you very much. We're going to get a word from our sponsors and be back with more with Adelita and Leo.
Hi, I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Ryan Peek.
And we're the Peek Brothers.
Hey there, glad you could make it. Come on in.
Wow, your kitchen looks amazing. So does your whole house.
Thanks. We just had our cabinets refinished by Peek Painting. They did such a fantastic job, we had them come back and paint our whole living area.
I guess you could say they have your stamp of approval.
Yes, sir. Just like everyone else on Google and Yelp. Booking a quote is easy. Just go to peekpainting.com. That's peekpainting.com. And book a time and day that fits your schedule. No back and forth phone tag. Just click and book.
Sounds too easy.
Hi, I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Ryan Peek.
And we're the Peek Brothers. From cabinet painting to interior painting.
Exterior painting, both residential and commercial.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County. We look forward to working with you. To learn more and book your appointment, visit Peek Painting at peekpainting.com.
Do you use propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location in Paso Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Saturday and has a dump station for your RV. To learn more, call Delta Liquid Energy, 805-239-0616, or go online to deltaliquidenergy.com.
Hi, I'm Wesley Dawes with Stove and Spa Center, and it might be hot now, but winter is just around the corner. So Stove and Spa Center is having a huge 36th anniversary stove, insert, and fireplace sale. We're overstocked, so don't miss out on big savings on quality cast wood and gas stoves by Hearthstone. How would you like being warmer this next winter and save money too? It's possible with a gas or wood stove from Hearthstone. Hearthstone's highly efficient wood and gas stoves come in many styles to fit any home's decor. Save big on Hearthstone stoves and inserts during Stove and Spa Center's big sale. All the products we offer are on our website at stoveandspa.com. Save big on Hearthstone stoves during Stove and Spa Center's 36th anniversary sale going on right now. Don't miss out on all the special offers at Stove and Spa Center. 7485 El Camino Real, Atascadero, between Curbrill and Moore Roads.
Rich London, the mattress specialist. Tell me what shoppers will find at your store.
Well, I've got regular flatbeds from twin size to king size. And then, of course, I've got adjustable beds where the bases go up and down so it's easier to get out of bed. You don't have to worry about acid reflux or if you have snoring problems or if you have bad circulation in your legs. All those things are benefits that the adjustable bases can give you.
The mattress specialist, 13th and Riverside, Paso Robles.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veeley. I'm your host on Wednesdays and Thursday afternoons. And we are doing forums, debates, call it what you want. We are finishing up our debates with Paso Robles Joint School, Unified School District candidates. We've had, this is the last debate. This is the District 6 with Leo Castillo and Adelita Haichu. And we are going over questions with the two of them. We're near the end of the show. Leo, you were responding to a question. How will you work with other board members to push ideas and to, obviously you're just one vote, but to get the word out and try to break up the board members that are really set in their ways.
So, again, as far as working with other board members to see eye to eye on things, I do believe, like Adelita said, collaboration is key. I think workshops together, maybe on a smaller scale, talking things out, and you know, sometimes conversations can be had over lunch, over coffee. There needs to be some familiarity with the board members. I feel like there has been some divisiveness, but I think that if you work together, find some kind of compromise, and also help each other understand where you're coming from and where your point is and where you want to go. And if you can meet in the middle, I think there's nothing wrong with that.
Thank you very much, Leo. And I'm going to ask you this one first. Have you taken any money from special interest groups?
No. I'm paying out of pocket.
That was quick. Adelita, have you taken any special interest from, or any money from special interest groups?
I am also not taking any money, and I am self-funded.
And if you want to send a question, I'm going to let both parties talk a little bit about themselves and what else they want to add to the conversation. But you have a short time to send a question in, 805-234-1703. Adelita, would you tell us a little bit again about why you're running and what's important to you?
Thank you. I am running for my kids. I'm running for my kids' friends. I'm running for every kid that has come through my home. I was a paraeducator, which I didn't mention earlier, at Pat Butler for 3 years. I'm running for all of those kids. I've really fallen in love with Paso Robles as a community, and I've fallen in love with Paso Robles School District as a whole. And I'm really just looking to continue my longstanding advocacy in that space. I did want to mention, I'm running for Area 6 Paso Robles School Board, and my website is myfirstandlastname.com, ADELITAHITESHEW.com. Go there, read my platform, learn about me, ask questions. If you want a yard sign, you can get one there too.
Thank you very much. And Leo, do you want to give a little ending here also in description?
Sure. Again, I'm running for District 6 as well, and I am excited about it. A very worthy adversary over here with me. I feel passionate about running for school board and serving my community. I've served my community here over 10 years in multiple ways, and I feel it's important to give back. I've received a lot of support from this community, and I just want to make a stance for these kids and continue on with that reputation that I've created here. I also am running again for Area 6. You can go to my website at Leo Castile, the number 4, pasoschools.com.
Thank you very much, Leo. We have another question, another surprise
Great.
Question. Leo, you're first.
Oh, wonderful.
Can each candidate give a few example of budget items they would cut back to save money?
You wanted me to go first on that?
Yes.
Okay. Charter buses. I think that the charter buses that we'd be using for sports travel, it could be minimized. I think that we have a fleet of buses. I feel like we could empower some of our staff to be multifaceted as employees where they can get a license to drive buses and minimize costs in that regard. That's the first thing that I see right away at the shoot.
And Adelita, is there anything that you think where you could actually look at this and say, here's where we could make some budget cuts due to throughout the nation, almost all government is in trouble right now. And the Paso Robles School District is no different. In fact, they're in a financial straits right now. And what is there anything that you would want to cut?
Well, there's nothing I would want to cut. I think that all of our money being spent on our students is incredibly important. And while I honestly cannot think of something off the top of my head immediately that is glaring at me, I think that, like, this is one of those cases where parents might not have the answer to that question immediately. And you the time that it would take me to really pore over that information to give a qualified answer to that right now is out of reach for a lot of our families, and that is why I'm advocating for accessible information on the budget moving forward.
Thank you very much. And this question's for you first. They closed Georgia Brown Elementary. The property is still with the district. What would you like to see happen with the Georgia Brown Elementary site?
This topic has been such a roller coaster for the district. I am incredibly sad that we lost a neighborhood school, and I understand the reasons behind it. And I'm incredibly also grateful that a decision was made and that our district is no longer in limbo on will they or won't they with Georgia Brown as a whole. Right now, our families have an answer, and I appreciate that deeply. I think that this is an investigation that needs to go into options for that school. I have heard Ken Enney actually mention putting a CTE program, like a magnet school there. I think that that would be great. Again, a big part of what I'm looking for in our community is investment in Paso Robles' future. And I think that that starts with our students.
And Leo, the same question. Georgia Brown Elementary School is currently closed and the site is not being utilized. What would you like to see happen to that property?
You know, I was going to say the exact same thing. So here we go. Thank you, Adelita, for that. I too agree with Kenny Enney's stance on turning that whole property into a multi-suited CTE program. You know, everything from a JROTC compound, you can have a cosmetology school there, you can have all kinds of CTE programs that can just be centralized in the community. And then again, going back to keeping youth here in Paso and creating jobs for them in the future and keeping them here and becoming the future leaders of tomorrow.
Thank you very much for that answer. And is there any other questions either of you would like to ask?
Do you have a question for me?
I do not.
I have a question. What would you promote in order to get the test scores up at the Paso Robles School District?
Our test scores, they're alarming when you look at that. And that is, to me, that's raw data. And I'm going to give an example of my own child. My daughter does incredibly well in math in classes with her teachers. But when it comes to a standardized test, that is not her strong suit. And I think that we've got to find a way to highlight where our children are doing well, because I don't think that that data is necessarily representative of how our students are doing. But it is still an alarming issue, and it's a state issue. Like, we will be looked at because of those test scores. It's early intervention, it's early identification for students who are falling behind and catching those kids before they fall.
And Leo, you have about a minute to answer the same question. What would you like to do? What do you think should be done to improve test scores in the district?
I think the first foremost, it is about early detection and being able to figure out where they're struggling right off the bat. I also would like to put a lot of that back on families. I feel like families, and I hate to say the word COVID, but here we are. We lost a lot of trust in ourselves as parents and gave it all to the school district. We expected the school district to do everything for them. And a lot of our families are just hands off. I feel that we need to empower them to be a little bit more engaging with homework and be more engaging with studying and be more engaging with their students' academics. It comes from home, and we shouldn't rely just on the district to solve all our problems.
Thank you very much. And I want to tell you both, I thank you for coming here today. Thank you, Leo, for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Adelita.
Thank you.
And again, next week, we will have District 3 on Wednesday and District 1 on Thursday. I think you need to listen next week. Thank you for listening today.
This hour of Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL and 99.3 FM was brought to you by Farm Supply, serving your fencing, irrigation, and livestock needs since 1950. Farm Supply, for the farmer in you.
AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.